morning and welcome to GoToMeeting 2. This is fellowship meeting for our brethren in Europe, including South Africa and parts of Europe there where our brethren are scattered throughout. This meeting is focused on reaching out and providing fellowship opportunity for them. This morning, we will have a message brought to us by our elder in Vermont, Roger Kendall. And the title of Roger's message is In Search for Encouragement in a Discouraging World. In Search for Encouragement in a Discouraging World. I present to you Roger Kendall.
Well, thank you, Albert. It is a real pleasure to be able to meet with everyone this morning or this afternoon or even late in the evening. It's a wonderful thing, as we heard in the opening prayer, that we can connect this way and that we can actually in real time to fellowship and to hear a message and to be able to start the Sabbath off or to end the Sabbath with the words of God and to be able to appreciate one another. So I hope that you're having a pleasant Sabbath. Again, last night I was having a bit of a hassle with my internet connection. It would be coming on and going off, and it was really kind of a frustrating thing. But again, Albert was able to carry on, and things went well. I hope everyone else had a much better connection. Well, it's my pleasure to be here to give a message, and I hope that this message will be helpful and beneficial, and as we live God's way and as we go forward heading for the kingdom of God. Well, brethren, it's very clear to all of us that we live in a chaotic, stressful, and even a discouraging world, and this can rub off on us in God's church. And for that reason, it's important, and we must recognize that we all need encouragement. And this is something that is provided to us by so many different sources. Of course, God is our principal source of encouragement. And so tonight we're going to be looking at searching for encouragement in a discouraging world. Brethren, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live in a perpetual or continuous state of joy, of happiness, of peace and contentment, because truly that's something that we all love and desire. But you know that life isn't that way. Although we experienced that at the feast, I was just thinking of as I was writing this and putting this together, just what a wonderful time we had at the feast where we came out of the world and we were able to fellowship and have wonderful meetings, good messages, fellowship and fine food, and everything was just literally perfect as it could be in this world at this time. But then we came back, of course, from the feast about 4 or 5 weeks ago, as it was. And of course, we're back into the world, back into the elements of what's all going on around us. And again, it's recognizing that life does have its ups and downs, and we can come into times when we experience hardship, difficulties that can really lead us to discouragement. And in some cases, it can even lead to being in a state of despair, or even worse than that, depression. And so, brethren, it's important for us to know that when we talk about discouragement, it is a negative and a destructive emotion that, if left in place, can cause serious problems for us as God's people. It can leave us feeling weak and almost some cases helpless. It can leave us feeling lacking enthusiasm, and it can stifle our prayer life and even our study of God's word. And so therefore we see that negative emotions and discouragement is something that could even can affect our relationship we have with God. So this is something that we need to, I think we're all aware of this. The thing is that where do we find encouragement? And what are the sources that God makes available? Well, there's many, many different causes that lead to discouragement, trials and hardship that we go through, personal difficulties with finances. The hard one is typically when we lose a loved one in the family. That's extremely discouraging and hard. And then we have the situation of prolonged illnesses, where we ask for God for healing, and in his will or whatever, we still have to endure through suffering and pain and agony, and yet God is still with us. But yet we have these times where we battle sin, and that's discouraging. It can be when it seems like we just try, and yet we realize that we of ourselves need God's help to do that. But anyways, it's difficult at times to identify sources of discouragement. Sometimes we can just have a bad morning and a bad day, and we really don't know the cause. But whatever the cause of discouragement is, that we can recognize that it truly is emotionally and spiritually disabling. And so we recognize that we also live in a world, brethren, which is pretty much controlled by Satan the devil, and it's evil and corrupt. And Satan is doing his very best to affect us as God's people, to discourage us and to help us to lose hope, help us to become, have negative thoughts, and to lose heart. Now, why does he do this? Well, let's recognize that Satan uses this as a tool, as an implement to cause us to have doubts, to be able to question our relationship with God, and to lose hope, and to try to break the close personal relationship that we have with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And you know, this is very damaging. This is something that we need to really recognize. When these negative emotions and discouragement come on us, that we need to strive. Yes, I say strive and work toward encouragement. Now, this is difficult when we're down and out and feeling miserable and feeling the hardness of the times we're living in. It's hard even to get into a positive mode, but we must strive for that, because indeed, as I just said, this is a tool that Satan can use against us, even in our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. So brethren, we all need encouragement from our trials, from our difficulties, from the hard situations that we face. And we all face these things, and it's part of life, but also it's a part of our development as God's children. It's part of becoming a son and daughter of God that we experience these things, because we're being trained now. We're being prepared to rule with Christ. And we need to experience these things, I believe, because then we in turn can help others and encourage others in the millennium. And then when Christ is here, we will be able to bring the true sources of encouragement to them and lift up the people, and to be able to help them to have a correct and proper attitude, and to rejoice and to truly be filled with joy and thanksgiving. It's interesting that Paul in Philippians 4, if you would like to turn there, Philippians 4, that Paul says that we should always rejoice in the Lord. That's in Philippians 4 and verse 4. And again, he repeated, again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4, verse 4. And if you read down this particular section of the chapter, he gives us some insight into that. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God in everything. And so he's saying, you know, don't be discouraged, be lifted up. And finally, he says down in verse 11, and we'll come back to this here later, but I am not saying that this in respect to be destitute. He's talking about being in difficult times and being thankful for the support that some of the church brethren were giving him. I'm not saying this in respect to be destitute, for I have learned that in whatever circumstances that I am, to be content, to be happy, to feel blessed, to be able to be positive in thinking, not to be discouraged or to go into some element of being down and out. So this is important, and Paul goes on and explains that this is very important in many, many different ways, as we're going to see in this message. So my message today, brethren, we're going to not only look at the sources of encouragement that we can find in the scriptures, but also we're going to be able to see how we can put those tools, those into practice, so that we can in turn on a daily basis, when we do feel those elements of discouragement and trials and hardship come upon us, that our frame of mind will not be negative and down and discouraged, but that we will be lifted up, knowing the encouragement that God has for us, and that we can look to Him and to His Word and to all that He prepares for us, that we can be encouraged and lifted up and not be burdened down with the feelings of dismay and doubts and discouragement. Again, we're going to also consider how this is so very important, so that we can have keep a very positive mindset as we walk with God. And so it's very important. Well, as we know, and we shall see, that our greatest source of encouragement, of course, comes from God the Father and Jesus Christ. We are His children. He has begotten us. He cares for us. And He is there to help us through our troubles and our struggles in every way, not only through His Holy Spirit, but also by His Word, the Bible that He's given to us, just full of encouragement and positive things that we can look to and recognize that through prayer and study that we truly can be lifted up as we connect with God. Because in this way, we can truly overcome the negative feelings and the emotions that come upon us at times. And we all get there sometimes. I know I was working with a fellow member of the church, and he was going through a very difficult time of discouragement, which really was going into despair and depression. And basically, he was at a very difficult time in prayer, very difficult time in really feeling that God loved him. And that's what this does, if held to a strong effect from discouragement, it can lead to it. Well, any brethren, let's look at what encouragement is, because it has many different facets and elements that it's good for us to understand and see where the scriptures tell us clearly the meaning of encouragement. Number one, it means to take courage and to make strong. Example of this, of course, we can look to many other examples, but one would be to look to the example of God speaking to Joshua when he was going to take the children of Israel into the promised land. So let's turn back to Joshua 1, and we can look at this example of encouragement to make strong. Let's begin in verse 1. And it came to pass that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and with all his people, into the land which I have given to them and to the children of Israel." Let's drop down to verse 5. "No man shall be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you." And, of course, this is New Testament teaching. We can read that in Hebrews 13. Again, God is with us. God is for us. Notice what it says in verse 6, "Be strong and be of good courage, for you shall divide for an inheritance to this people the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, so that you may observe to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left, so that you may prosper in whatever you do." And so here we see the example of God giving courage and support and strength to Joshua to take on the incredible task that he had, as we know as we read through the account in the scriptures. Another point about encouragement, it means to receive consolation and comfort, to receive consolation and comfort. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's begin to read in verse number 2. "Grace and peace be to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is an opening that we find in all of the epistles. And this too is encouraging to us. We see God the Father is continually giving grace and peace to us. And notice, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God of all comfort. He is our Father and he cares for us, who comforts us in all of our tribulations. And don't we have tribulation and trials? Yes, we do. He comforts us in order that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trial through the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so we see here, not only God comforts us, but here we see a responsibility that we have. That as God comforts us and lifts us up and helps us, we in turn are to be a light and a support and to comfort others in their trials and discouragements that they go through. So you can see how this element of encouragement is really widespread in terms of how it really operates. We just have to find it and use it in our lives. Number three, a point of encouragement means to exhort and to lift up in hope, to lift up others in hope. So hope is a very important element that comes from encouragement. Let's go to Hebrews 6, please, and we can read where this is clearly expressed, that we get encouragement when we basically grow in hope. And we have a lot of hope. We hope for the future that we can indeed be in God's family and live with him eternally. Hebrews 6, verse 18, we can read, so that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to lay hold on the hope that has been set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Let's let that sink in. Brethren, when we have hope, when we have encouragement, when we have the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, we have tremendous hope. And hope really is the understanding that all things will work to the good, that we have a promising and bright and glorious future in the kingdom of God. And you know, we're here on this earth not to amass wealth, amass power, prestige. We're here as God's children to grow in character, to grow in the very mind of Christ so that we can serve in the kingdom. And that's what we're being prepared for. That's where we're headed. That's what we're doing now. And reading now in both secure, reading verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor to our soul. An anchor just secures us. It locks us in, if you will, so that we're not going to be moving around and be jostled and be affected by all the things going on around us in a negative way. It's an anchor, both secure and steadfast, which enters into the sanctuary within the veil, speaking of Christ, where Christ has entered for us as forerunner, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And we're going to be talking about Christ as our high priest, as a source of encouragement as we go forward. If I number four, again, now other element of encouragement is to give aid. Yes, just to physically give aid to somebody. That's a source of encouragement, of course, and to provide confidence in God, confidence in the word of God, confidence that he will be there. Even though we are suffering, going through trials, he will give us the strength and the support to endure. And that is the key right there. We just need to recognize and call upon that and receive the encouragement, the hope that God has for us. But also it means to embolden the heart. I really like that expression, to embolden the heart. You could just see how this encouragement just stimulates the heart to have a more positive, focused frame of mind, not on the negative, not on that things are going wrong, but to focus on those things that we can have truly rejoice in. Anyways, but let's go to Ephesians 3, please, verses 11 and 12. Back to Ephesians 3, verse 11. According to his eternal purpose, which he has wrought in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and direct access with confidence through his very own faith. So this is an important element. Again, not only see the what encouragement means, a source of strength and of boldness, courage, but also that we have confidence through our faith. No, it says through his very own faith. It's through the faith of Christ in us that God gives to us. But we need to be aware that we need to continually ask God to provide that faith, provide that strength and that help. So prayer is so essential, as we're going to see, to keep in an encouraged mind. Prayer is one of the wonderful tools that we can use as a source of encouragement. Well, brother, those are the elements of encouragement that I wanted to go over. But what we need to realize that encouragement is both a spiritual and a physical, yes, it's an emotional uplift, as it helps us to replace the negative thinking, the down and out attitude, and to replace it with faith, hope, and confidence. And that's the key, to replace the negative feelings and emotions with those which are positive. Of course, what this does, even though we're not removed from the trial, it gives us the strength to endure and to keep on keeping on toward the kingdom and not fail to continue to see that that's our destination. That's where we're headed. And we need to continue to work and have confidence that God is with us and for us and will help us in time of need. And brethren, this is so important. We, as we go through a troubling world, a world that is just falling apart and it affects us. And we need to be strong, because otherwise we may fall into this trap of being discouraged and being negative. David at times, King David, experienced discouragement. He experienced being in a state of really hardness. And in the Psalms, we can read that somehow, sometimes even called out and said, you know, God, where are you? No, he was so discouraged and so far from God that he felt that he was alone. And that leads to discouragement. But anyways, let's go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and we can see an example of where David was dealing with discouragement and what he was able to communicate to himself what to do. So let's go to, Psalm 42, and let's begin in verse, well, let's go back to verse 1. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart pants after water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O God. In other words, he says, you give me an example of, you know, of a rabbit just dying of thirst, just being in just absolutely dry and just needing water. Water to refresh, water which will give us strength and help. So if we see the analogy here that we need to get here. Oh, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In other words, just a little sense of doubt. Where are you, God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day, where is your God? And so this David is experiencing a time of discouragement. But then look, notice what happens in verse 4. I remembered these things. I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the multitude. I led them to the house of God with the voice of joy and of praise, and a multitude of keeping the feast. This is interesting, because he's saying he's reflecting back on the good times. He's reflecting back on the time that things were at the feast, that things were joyful, things were positive. And then it's stimulated in his mind to realize, and he asks himself in verse 5, then why are you cast down, O my soul? Why do you moan within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the salvation of his countenance. And so we see what David did. He remembered situations where things were good. He focused on blessings, and then he realized hope in God, for there is the source of the strength and help that he needed. Of course, we know the example of Elijah back in Kings. I think it's Kings 18, where he took on the you know, the prophets of Baal, and he was strong and made that 21 second prayer, and the altar and the offering was consumed by God, and he slayed all the prophets of Baal, and then he fled. And then he went through a time of deep discouragement and despair. And he said, woe is me, I'm the last one to serve you. And then God came and again reminded him that he was not alone, that God was with him, but also there were 7,000 who had not kneeled their knees to Baal. And so again, we all can fall into this, even the mighty men of scriptures. So God is the greatest source of comfort, of encouragement. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians and continue to look at some scriptures that really, truly point this out. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. And here we go. 2 Thessalonians 2, and let's go to verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who loved us, truly loves us, and gave us eternal encouragement. Notice, not just encouragement, but eternal encouragement and good hope through grace. Eternal encouragement. That we're on an eternal path, brethren. And if we just recognize that, if we hang in there, if we stay the course, if we're steadfast, if we're faithful and we endure to the end, then we will have eternal encouragement in the kingdom of God. What an inspiring scripture. And notice verse 17, encourage your hearts with this truth and this understanding, and establish you in every good word, because once we're encouraged, strengthened, then God can use us in a much more powerful way to do those things that he wants us to do. When we're down and out and discouraged, we become almost a wounded warrior, if you will. That's a good way of looking at it. Discouragement wounds God's warriors, and we need to heal that and to patch that up and pick it up and get going and look to God as the source of our encouragement. You know, God's encouragement comes to us as a result of his love, as we just read. We got also because of his grace, because he cares for us. And God is love. That's his very nature, his very character. And he wants each and every one of us to succeed and to achieve the kingdom of God. And we can look at this now as, let's go to 1 John. This is a very inspiring, encouraging scripture. 1 John verses 1 through 3. Very encouraging because it really tells us who we are before God. 1 John in the epistle of 1 John in chapter 3. Behold, it means to wake up, recognize. What glorious love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. For in this very reason, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is manifested, we shall be like him, because we shall see him exactly as he is. What a scripture. It really gives us insight in the fact that we're going to be exactly a prototype of Jesus Christ. But that requires work now that we must do, of course, is to develop the character. But anyways, notice verse 3, and anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure, because this is our obligation. We must use God's spirit, his help, to grow, change, and overcome, and so that we might become like Jesus Christ. And so, but with this is great hope. If we're doing that, we should be encouraged. We should be lifted up and just be filled with tremendous joy. You know, indeed, God the Father can be looked upon as being like a coach on the sidelines. If you want to look at a kind of a physical picture, he's a coach on the sidelines, and you notice in games and football games, when the coach is there, he's just rooting the team on, rooting the players out there, encouraging them and helping them to do their best, to be focused and concentrated, and to really be there. And so God is like that, and he's there. He's cheering us on to victory. over this evil world, over Satan, the devil, and over our own human nature. Yes, he is working with us so that we can truly be victorious. And that is truly encouraging to realize that's what God is doing. And always remember that God is a God of hope. If everything else fails, as David said, when everything else fails, remember, not only is a God of hope, but that when we go through trials and hardships and difficulties, and at times we are just, woe is me, and we feel down and out, always remember that God loves you. God cares for you. God is there to put his arm around you, to lift him, like, again, to carry you and to help you. But we need to look to him. We need to recognize that he is the source, and we need to truly appreciate that God will give us hope and encouragement anytime that we need it. All we have to do is drop to our knees or just stand there and just wherever we are and just cry out to God for hope and encouragement. Indeed. Again, let's go to Hebrews 13. We read God said to Joshua about being with him. And let's look at what Christ tells us about being with us. Hebrews 13, a very familiar memory scripture, if you will, verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Do not allow the love of money to influence your behavior, but be satisfied with what you have. Going back to what Paul said, be content, whatever the circumstances are, be content. Well, he said, with what you have, for he has said, in no way will I ever leave you. No, I will never forsake you in any way. Brethren, this means that God will never, never leave your side. He is there. He's part of your life. Never forget that. Because you're a called out one. You're special to God in that sense, because he's preparing a son and daughter for eternal life. And again, we can all go on and read verse 6. So then let us boldly say, let us recognize that. Let us boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Again, expressing this element of encouragement, confidence, of hope, of being consolate, being consoled, and being able to be lifted up in strength. And let's realize and understand as we do that Christ is our high priest. We read that earlier, that in dealing with hope. Christ is our high priest. And being our high priest, we can go to him. And again, Hebrews chapter 4, let's go back and read. We can go to God, Christ, anytime, 24/7, and receive the help and the strength and the encouragement that we need to receive to keep on keeping on. Hebrews 4 verse 14. Having therefore a high priest who has passed into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, we should hold fast the confession of our faith. Again, here Paul is saying to don't forget your covenant. Don't forget the fact that hold fast and keep it close to you. That's what he's saying. Keep your commitment, your focus on the kingdom. Now, why is that? Okay. But we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptation, yet he was without sin. If we think about the life of Jesus and when he walked the earth, I mean, in some senses, he must have felt this essence of discouragement, looking at what was going on around him and just seeing in the world how people would just absolutely not accept him and would literally curse him. And of course, going through his suffering before the cross, he never lost hope. He never got discouraged or dismayed so that he could lose hope. He always had hope in the Father. He trusted him. He had confidence in God the Father. And so by his example, then he went through that. And now as our high priest, he can empathize with us as we go through our suffering, our trials and hardship. He empathizes. He knows, he feels that because he was there. He did it. And now verse 16, therefore we should come with boldness to the throne of grace. Boldness without fear, with courage, with absolute strength and confidence that God will hear us and bless us so that we may receive mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. And so again, Christ as our high priest, he is our source of encouragement, and we can go to Christ and he hears our prayers. In fact, in Matthew 11, he says that not only can go to him and ask for help, we can give him our burdens. Think about that. We can take off the trial, the burden that we're facing with, and give it to Christ. Let's go to Matthew 11, please. And again, a very familiar scripture. You need to remember this when we are carrying a heavy load and we're just overburdened. What does Christ say to us? Verse 28, Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are overly burdened, and I will give you rest. I will lift you up. I will take that burden upon me and carry it for you. Just be willing to give it up. Give it to me, and I will take it. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. He's telling us here that, yes, he is meek and lowly. He has a humble spirit, that he recognizes that he's doing this in love and concern for us. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's willing to take that on, to carry us through a very difficult day and take our burdens. Very encouraging. We also know that the Holy Spirit, that is the power of God in us, it's the indwelling of God the Father and Jesus Christ in us, is a great source of encouragement. You don't need to turn there, but that's exactly what it says in Acts 9 and verse 31. Acts 9:31, that the Holy Spirit is a tremendous source of encouragement. Let us remember that the Holy Spirit is also known as the Comforter. And that's one of the elements of encouragement. It is known as the Comforter. Let's go to John 14, please. John chapter 14, and let's go to verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. Well, let's go back and not miss chapter verse 15. And if you love me, keep my commandments, namely my commandments. And that's, this is kind of a prerequisite for what we're going to read next. And I will ask my Father, and he will give you another Comforter, and it may be with you throughout your age. Truly, he only gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. So that's what I'm trying to bring up. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that is, that he may be with you throughout the age, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it perceives it not, nor knows it, but you know it, because it dwells with you and shall be within you. Again, indwelling of God's power, his presence in us, God the Father and Jesus Christ with us. And again, Comforter is from the Greek word parakletos, meaning intercessor, consoler, and advocate, which provides the comfort, the strength, the consolation, and that's needed in time of need. Reading in verse John 14, the same chapter, let's just read now verse 26 and 27. John 14, verse 26. And when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, and that one will teach you all things and shall bring you into remembrance of everything that I told you. And one of those things he tells us is right there in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it fear. I know in my own personal life, and I've been truly grateful and thankful to God that when I'm going through a difficult time, I get anxious, get nervous. I ask for his peace. And then it comes. You just feel much more at ease. You feel confident. It's there for the asking. We just need to ask God for what we need. He knows we need it. But as Byron pointed out last night, we have to be specific in our prayers and tell God that we really need a specific element. So ask for God's peace when you're in time of trouble, and he will give it. Christ gives us of his peace, his very own peace. That's incredible. That's incredible. So we know that God's word is a source of great encouragement. God's word, we talked about God the Father and Christ, we talked about the Holy Spirit, but the word of God is just full of encouragement and help to us because it reveals God's promises to us. And we just read that God cannot lie. His promises are certain. And if we have faith in those promises and trust in God, then we can have great encouragement. For Christ is our rock. And a rock is something you can build upon. It's solid. It's a place of defense. It's a place of being strong. I mean, a place of strength, if you will. Not our strength, but Christ's strength. Christ is our rock. And in time of trouble and despair, we can go there and be on the rock and we will be comforted and lifted up. Many, many Psalms cover this great thing. I have many that I've written down and I can see that my time is not going to allow me to go through all of these, but let's just look at a couple of these, please. Let's go to Psalm 27 verses 1-5. The Psalms are just full of encouragement to us. And again, that's where I turn. I know many, many do to turn to these Psalms for help and encouragement when things get tough. And we can really appreciate that God is there for us. So let's go to Psalm 27 and read verses 1-5. Psalm 27 and verse 1-5. There we go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? Now, did we read that earlier? I mean, in Hebrews 13, yes, we did. When the wicked and my enemies and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. They're not able to prevail against us, because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, and our enemies cannot prevail against us, because God is with us, he's for us. Though an army should encamp, I like this, though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not be afraid. Though war should rise up against me, even then I should be confident. One of the elements that we have from encouragement. Confidence, trust, hope. The one thing that I desired from the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in his secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And that rock, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and read verse 1-5. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Hear, crying out to God. Hear me, O Lord. Bow your ear down to hear my prayer. Deliver me quickly. Be my strong rock, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, your namesake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have hidden for my For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. Tremendous encouragement and inspiration for us. Let's go to Psalm 91. There's others, but let's just go to Psalm 91, one that we're very familiar with, one that we, many brethren, read daily because of what it says there, because it's a source of positive encouragement. Psalm 91 says, and he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, we just talked about that, God hides us. He literally hides us from the terrors and the things going on around us. He protects us. He sustains us. And he says here, the Most High God shall abide, and we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Wow. We're right there, right by his side, the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I shall trust. Surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying pestilence. This is God's promises to us. This is what he said he will do for us. We just have faith and trust and confidence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth, his word, his commandments, his way of life, it's the truth. hold fast the truth and never let it go. And you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor for the plague that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction laying waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near to you. Many, many other examples in the Psalms that we could read. The Psalms are but just an example of God's word to us, that we can trust him, that we can have faith in him, that we can be comforted and we can be lifted up and encouraged by his word. Another source of encouragement, of course, is from the ministry, from the elders, because we have been given the, I'm going to say, the mandate to preach the word, but also to give comfort and encouragement to the brethren. I need to turn there. You can turn to 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2, where Paul exhorted to Timothy to encourage, to give encouragement to the brethren. Again, we know that in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 3, that one who speaks under inspiration by God is to give comfort, is to give edification, and to give encouragement. And that comes to us because why? Through the word of God, through the very word of God. As we express this, we help to people to remember the very source of their hope, and they can be encouraged by hearing the words of God's preached to them. Brethren, another wonderful source of encouragement is from one another. And this is very important. As I said earlier, God comforts us, encourages us so that we can encourage one another. Brethren, we're all in this together. We're all experiencing the same troubles and hardship and pain and suffering to one degree or another. And the scripture says, when one suffers, we all suffer. But when we all rejoice, when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And in the same manner, we are to help one another. And we can do this by just connecting with scattered brethren through emails, through letters of encouragement, notes, phone calls, and just say, how are you doing? I'm great. Good to hear you. I hope that you're having a good day. I'm praying for you. And brethren, what an uplift that is to know that brethren are praying for yourself, praying for you, for the troubles and difficulties you're going through. And that's one of our duties. That's one of our responsibilities. I know that we all take that seriously, but it is a tremendous source of encouragement to us. Interesting to note that Barnabas, who was one of the apostles that served with the apostle Paul, his name actually means one who encourages, son of consolation, one who encourages. And so, brother, we need to be like Barnabas. We need to be a source of encouragement to others, because that's so important as we go through. We know God's there. We expect to be able to talk to other brethren that, who have common experiences. Really, really helps. Helps a great deal. Anyways, so what can we do to overcome discouragement and to find the sources first, find the sources of encouragement, which we've gone through already, and to practice them in your day-to-day life. And again, in the morning when we pray, if we go to God and we ask for that help and support, he hears that. He gives us encouragement. So that, again, we should start the day asking God for the strength and help that we need to do his will and to accomplish his purposes. And we can note that when a person gets discouraged, and gets a state of disarray, of discouragement, and even depression, only the person, he or she can draw themselves out of this attitude. I mean, people can say to a person who's discouraged, oh, just be encouraged, be lifted up, be helped. No, they have to come and make the choice to overcome these negative elements of our thinking. And again, how do you do that? By just focusing on, not on yourself, not on your woe and difficult times, but focus on others who are going through the same experiences, but focus on those things that are outside of yourself, like we've gone over already, and to exchange the negative thinking, the negative thoughts that we're having with positive ones, to think about our future, to think about the glorious examples that God gives to us, and to go into his word, as we said, and to remember remember and know that God loves you and wants you in his family. That God called you in a very personal and specific way, called you and chose you and gave his Holy Spirit to you, that you might be a son and daughter of Jesus, of his, and a brother and the sister to Jesus Christ. And brethren, he is now, just remember, he's teaching us and training us now for a fabulous, glorious future in the family of God to serve under Jesus Christ and to bring salvation to this world. What an incredible, I mean, this just, when you think about this and recognize that what we're going through now is really not that big deal relative to the future. I'm not downplaying the sorrows and difficulties we go through, but when we compare it to the future, wow, it's an incredible thing. And God has given you the knowledge and the understanding of his plan, of his word. We know God. We understand God. We can understand him through his Holy Spirit. What an incredible thing that is. And we also can go back and remember that God is always there to bring us through every trial. But let's go to Romans 8, verse 28, as we begin to wrap up the message here today. There's much more I could be saying about this subject, but time is short here. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 28. This is probably one of the more inspiring, encouraging statements regarding the life that we live and what we're going through. It says, Romans 8, 28, this is a memory verse. And we know that all things work together for good. All things, not just a few, all things. The good times, the bad times, the trials and the hardship, as well as the glorious experience we have with family, with fellowship and love among the brethren. All things work together for good to those who love God, who truly love God with all their heart, soul, and being. And to those who are called according to his purpose. So now he's his link to purpose. Why are we been called? What is our future? And we realize that our life's experiences, good, bad, troubles and hardship, as well as the glorious times, are working for our good. Because we know that we're developing the character of God that is there. That's what's going to carry over. The character of Jesus Christ, that we can be like he is. And that's what God is doing. So all of this is working to the good. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? We're seeing all of the experiences that Paul went through and the Christians of his day, but also we in turn may be experiencing a lot of this in the future. As we know, difficult days are coming and we need to be encouraged even through those days ahead, obviously, yes. According to it is written, by your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are reckoned as sheep for the slaughter, because we do know saints have been martyred all down through time, and we know that it will happen again in the future. But notice what it says. But in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There it is, brethren. We're going to win. If we hang in there, if we endure, continue to do the things that we're doing, we're going to make it. We're going to achieve the kingdom. That's what it says, right? We're conquerors. We're going to overcome all of this. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, what scripture that we can read, and when we get down and difficult and we're struggling, and receive the hope and encouragement that God has for us. As we focus on the kingdom of God and looking forward to the glorious future, we need to keep that vision burning brightly in our minds. But let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, and we can really see what Paul tells us, and he compares the troubles that we're having in this world versus the glorious future that we have in the future. And that's what we need to really appreciate and focus on, going the wrong way. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 4. Here we go. And focus on this. knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead shall also raise us through Jesus and shall present us with you. We'll be on the sea of glass. We'll be there to work with Christ and to be able to prepare to come back to the earth to bring salvation and truth to all earth, to all the whole world. For all these things are for your sakes, so that with that the abounding grace may cause the thanksgiving of many to overflow into the glory of God. So we need to rejoice and be thankful. For this reason, we do not lose heart, but if our outward man is being brought to decay, as we age, as our body wears out, as we suffer the trials and difficulties of this life, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. The inner spirit of God working in us to develop that character, the mind of Christ. For the momentary lightness of our tribulation, notice, is working out for us an immeasurable, greater, and everlasting fullness of glory. Notice, the trials and tribulations, he says, for the momentary lightness of our tribulation is working for us for greater and everlasting fullness of glory. We're talking about the purpose of trials. What does James say? He says to rejoice in our trials. Well, that's hard, but we realize the benefits of trials. We went over that last night and with Byron's message, tremendous message about, again, giving thanks and giving praise in our trials. And let's read on. I'll come back to this thanksgiving aspect before God. We consider not the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Put our minds on the glory that's going to be given to us in the future. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal, forever, ever and ever. Verse 1, chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. And so, brethren, there's more we could say, but I do want to just focus on one thing. We again, study the Word of God, be close to God, but also recognize that we need to really be thankful. If we're thankful and show gratitude, as was gone over last night, in the times of our trials, this will bring us encouragement. It will bring us the help that we need to get through, to endure. Because sometimes God does not lift that trial and that burden, but lets it go on. But he's there. He's with us. Always remember that. That we can learn and grow from that trial and build the character and the endurance that we need to have. And we need to learn. Because times ahead are going to be even more difficult and more troublesome and trials to us as for those who live on to through this age. So we need to be thankful and be praying to God daily for the help and encouragement we need. Let's go back to Philippians 4. And that's where we began, back to Philippians 4. And we will see what Paul is telling us now that we've seen the sources of encouragement. Now we know how we put them into practice. And here in Philippians, there we go, Philippians 4, Paul gives us some very encouraging words. Again, verse 4, Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't be discouraged. Don't be at a point of depression and negative thoughts. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Has not God provided us with all of our needs and our many of our wants? Yes, he has. But notice, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God in every way. And when you do that, in faith, trusting God in confidence, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And notice verse 8, focus on that which is what? Change your thought patterns. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And whatever things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, you do also. And he goes on and says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. Verse 11, we read earlier, I am not saying this respect of destitute. I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself in. And why does he say that? For I've experienced being brought low and experienced bounding. In everything and all things, I have been taught both to be full and to hunger, both to abound and to be without. But notice what he says now in verse 13. But I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. So brethren, finally, we need to recognize God is there. He's for us to encourage us, to help us through. And we just need to call upon his name and he'll be there for us to lift us up and carry us through. So brethren, I hope this message has been helpful and beneficial to all of us as we deal with a discouraging, contentious, stressful world and with the trials and hardship that we go through. Let us remember God is there for us. He loves us. He's there to give us encouragement and help. All we need to do is call upon his name and seek the help that he has to offer. And so, brethren, I hope you have a very pleasant and profitable Sabbath. For some of you, that's drawing nigh, but for those of us who are going to experience today, may you have a truly happy Sabbath and full of joy and peace. And we do truly pray that all things will go well in your life. So with that, that's the end of my message. And
for our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.